Last week we looked at a subject that I believe that everybody needs to know, and that is learning about the name of Jesus. We sang some tunes about the name of Jesus last week, and we want to just go to a couple of scriptures that we went to last week. I want to talk about this morning what we possess in the name of Jesus, and maybe explore that and see where we go. I do have a lot of information. I do have a series on this. You can actually get one of the books in here at our bookstore on the name of Jesus and learn more about it. Don't wait till the next service. Go ahead and learn more on the subject. And so last week we talked about Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and we used the phrase, the angel talked to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the angel gave instruction to Mary and says, "You shall call his name Jesus." And, specifically God picked the name of Jesus for his son. And we said that people have obtained names through different means. If you're named after somebody, maybe it's a name after somebody important to you, or somebody just that your mother liked the rhyme of the name. Some people pick names because of entertainers or movie stars or different personalities, maybe sports stars, something that means something to you. And names mean something as well. You need to find out what your name is. Have you ever discovered? How many of you discovered what your name is? That's good. If you haven't done that, find out what your name is and learn about it. And I didn't like my name when I was growing up. And, everybody else's name is Joe or Billy or Johnny. But they called me Roma. And I didn't see anybody by the name of Roma. But as I grew up, and it always bothered me when I went to school, especially a new class, I said, okay, where is Roma? Where is she? And so I had to get up, it's me. And so so I kind of felt ashamed of my name for a long, long time until, of course, especially if you're a young kid, you have social issues, maybe you have fear, you have anxiety being around large crowds, especially if you're shy, intimidated easily. So I was a kid that had a lot of self-esteem issues. I didn't, I didn't feel I was up to par in terms of who I was. So, but after I got developed, praise God, after I became older, how many of you people that consider yourself older, mature? I'm speaking to you. After I got older, I began to love my name. I studied my name, figured what it meant. And one of the things I like about my name, the name means great. And so, I like that name. So now it's different. I don't mind the sound of my name anymore. I like people calling my name. It's like music. So it's wonderful. Everybody, I was told, the business people, that it's good to remember names, right? It actually does something for somebody when you remember names. So... Jesus Mary, Jesus' mom, was told what to name her son that's going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:21, he says, his name shall be called Jesus. You'll conceive a child, and of the Holy Ghost, and that child will be called Jesus. And so they named him Jesus. And Isaiah 9:6 said, a son is given to us. His name will be called Wonderful. And there's reasons why the name is wonderful. And so it's wonderful because it has a lot of attachment to it, a lot of meaning, a lot of significance in terms of what is given to us by God. The name gives us a lot of things. So we mentioned... it's all in the name. when you mention people's names, it's associated with certain things. When people say your name in your family, what is that name associated with? What is your name in your circle associated with? When they say Billy, if they say Bill, what does that mean to your family? If you say John, or Nathan, what does that name mean? So I believe that when you die, your name, you'll leave a name, for your children. And so I love my name. I want to carry my name on. And so that name means something. We said at John 6, chapter 16, verse 23, the Amplified Version, Jesus said, "At that time, when the time comes, you'll ask me nothing. You'll ask of me nothing." That is, Jesus is talking about after the new covenant, when Jesus ascended into heaven. He said, "When I hung around with you guys, your disciples, you didn't ask me anything. But when I'm gone to heaven and sitting at the right hand of my Father, you will not ask me anything anymore. You're not going to pray to me. You're going to pray to the Father in my name. Because my name represents all that I did and all that I accomplished for you Christians, all you believers. I've given you the name, and that name is associated with all that I've accomplished for you, like healing and deliverance, amen, like answered prayer, and so forth." And so he said here in John 16, 23, "When the time comes, you will ask me nothing of, or ask nothing of me. You will need to ask me no questions. I assure you, most subtly, I tell you that my Father will grant you whatever you ask for in my name." That's a blank check. Amen. So he'll grant you everything, that all that I am, all that I'm whatever represented, in terms of the, the secure, the inheritance, everything in there, you can have it in my name. But the trouble is people don't think about that name in that vein. They don't think about asking the Father in the name of Jesus, and they don't associate that name with anything else other than Jesus had a name. And we said that some people use the name of Jesus as a swear word. Or the name of Jesus in some Christian circles is just a punctuation at the end of a prayer. But that name means more than you've ever imagined. And so we said, if anybody's going to learn about the name of Jesus, we're going to have to study on it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we have to learn what is contained in the name, what comes with the name. It's not like somebody said the name of Jesus is not like a good luck charm, a rabbit's foot. You rub that thing hoping something will happen. But the name of Jesus will be granted by the Father in heaven. All that's in this Bible that says it belongs to you, so God will give it to you. If you can find promises in there that says that's mine, in the name of Jesus, I can have it. Amen. Let's go ahead and give yourself a hand, your neighbor. Hallelujah. Come on, let's go ahead and give everybody a clap. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Around here, we don't clap to Jesus. Because we put Jesus on a different level other than a human being. The Bible tells us this in the New Testament. Now, you can clap if you want. We're not going to be upset about it. Sometimes you might feel a little out of place if you're from another church. We don't notice. We never clap in our worship services, unless we were to the beat or something. But we say, let's worship Jesus. Let's give Jesus praise. Around here, we don't give Jesus a hand. And we reverence God. We just lift up our hands. The Bible says in the New Testament, we lift our hands up in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's what we do because we want to follow what the Word of God says. Is that okay? Okay. I just feel like I'm out of place here saying that in my own church, But... we kind of, and that's the reason why we're trying to teach people is that we have to reverence God more than we do a man. We don't put Jesus on the same level as a dignitary, a human dignitary. Jesus is God, amen? His name is wonderful. Lift that name and exercise. Say, His name is wonderful. I worship Him. I thank you, God, for that wonderful name. The name of Jesus. Amen. So, He said, My Father will grant you whatever you ask for in My name as presenting all that I am. That's the Amplified Bible. And up to this time, He's talking about the time when He was leaving. There's a time, you know, how many people know the New Testament the covenant didn't really get executed until Jesus ascended to heaven, sat at the right hand of the Father. So there's a time lapse between when Jesus was coming. See, when Jesus was coming, see, the Gospels are not exactly the New Testament. They're Gospels. There's a time between that when He came. Jesus was operating as a man. He was operating as a prophet on this earth, as a ministry gift prophet. And Jesus didn't know everything as He walked the earth because He was a man. And the only time He knew something is when He was anointed by the Spirit of God. And people think, well, with Jesus, He could just read hearts anytime He wanted to. Well, they haven't studied the Bible. And God only revealed to Jesus what He should know. Does it surprise you? Some people, it surprises you. They think that Jesus, or they think that Jesus went and did anything He wanted to do. I'll just heal this one if I wanted to. I'll heal that one if you want to do. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to heal you. No, Jesus was moved by His Father, by the Holy Spirit, if God told him, go and heal this man over here, he's crippled for 40 years, go and heal that man with the gifts of faith, working of miracles. And so He went and ministered to those people. The Bible says, if you look very carefully in the New Testament, you know, in Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says that Jesus gave up His place, became a man. That's why Jesus had to be anointed by the Spirit. If Jesus was God, who's going to anoint God? He's God. So Jesus became a man, and that's why the Holy Spirit came upon Him, and God anointed Him to do the work of a ministry gift. And so we need to see the New Testament. I never knew these things until I began to study the Scriptures, study the Word of God. And we need to learn a lot about the name of Jesus. And that's why sometimes people say to me, if you're a real Bible preaching healer, why don't you just go to the hospital and clear out that hospital, heal everybody there? Just like Jesus did. I said, Jesus never did that. He never went around healing people. In fact, they kicked Him out of places when He wanted to heal. And he said in Mark 5:6 or 6:5, he says that Jesus couldn't do one miracle in His hometown because of unbelief. And one time in Luke 5, he said he went to a place and the Spirit of God was upon him. And they said the Spirit of God was present to heal them. Only one was healed among them. And so he had to leave. So we have to study the Scriptures and understand, what belongs to us and take what belongs to us and learn from Scripture what belongs to us. And sometimes, you know, I see different things on Facebook, people asking everybody to pray for them, thinking that if they can get so many numbers of strong people praying, they're going to get their prayer answered. You know, it only takes one person to get your healing, maybe yourself and somebody else. Because you're not trying to ask God and trick God giving you something so that if your prayers are strong enough, God's going to grant you that. Healing already belongs to us. We studied this last week. Praise God. Amen. And if you're not getting something, it's your fault. Because you haven't studied. You haven't studied the Bible. And so we need to study the Bible, find out what's going on. So, and there's a lot of confusion going on about that. And so we want to study. So our ministry, I told people, our ministry is more of a teaching ministry. God raised me up in the north to teach across the nation of Canada. And that's why we're on television. We didn't go on television because I wanted to. Because I wanted to be famous, because I want to do it. No, it's a burden to be on television. It's a burden to preach every two, three days at a time. It's not easy to preach. You might think it's nice. Oh, wow, what a wonderful thing to preach. No, it becomes a burden after a while. It's not that easy. Especially when you have to be sharp. It's a little bit different when you have to be sharp, right? You can, if you just come up here, ramble off a few scriptures, and hope someone will hit something. But if you, any scripture will help anybody, right? But, we need to be accurate. So it's all in a name. Up to this time, verse 24, you have not asked a single thing in my name as presenting all that I am, but now ask, and the Amplified says, and keep on asking. That is, when he says keep on asking, that means that you keep in faith. See, if you take the scripture out of context and begin to say, ask God for the same thing over and over and over, then you get out of whack because you don't see the balance in other scriptures. In faith, if you're praying alone for your own need, you only ask one time. The rest of the time, you offer the prayer of thanksgiving. Say, God, I want to thank you. I prayed that. I just want to praise you for it. I received that. And, even though the healing is not manifested yet, you begin to thank him. But there are some prayers you pray over and over, like the prayer of intercession. That's when you pray over and over again. And the prayer of consecration, dedication, that's when you pray over again. The prayer of casting your cares upon the Lord, the stress-relieving prayer, the fear-relieving prayer, you pray that lots of times throughout the day. You don't just pray that one time. Say, God, I want to thank you that you said you would take care of all of my needs. Praise God. Amen. We got all this stuff in the name of Jesus. Some people in here need to fight fear. There's two things that most people have to fight is fear. Fear and worry. And stress. Stress is killing people, causing cancer. Scientists are telling us that cancer is rampant and stress is high and people are getting cancer because of stress. Their bodies are fighting. Their bodies are shooting out all these chemicals in your system and there's trouble going on and on in the body. Praise God. If you're sitting in your home, I don't know if you notice this, if you ever sit in your home and you watch a movie or something on television, it gets you all upset, and all of a sudden some people are getting so upset on Facebook. It's getting all over them, and then they're mad all the time because other people's comments, well, if you don't like it, get off. If you can't handle, get off. Because it's a free medium, and you can say whatever you want to say on there. Because if you put something on there, people, has their opinion about what you said or criticized, hey, they have a freedom to say that. It's like you had a right to put that on there. So if you don't like it, get off. It's not a nice thing, but that's true, right? So, and then some people, they cut themselves off that because they don't want to get upset. And that's good if you want to do that for a while. But I haven't yet. So I've been upset a lot of times, but I don't always speak my mind because it's a fool utters all his mind. The Bible says, if a fool keeps his mouth quiet, then everybody thinks he's smart. That's what the Bible says. So if I keep my mouth, they'll think, oh, he's wise, you know. Really, a lot of times they don't know. I'm not as smart as they think. You know? So let's go ahead and find what the Bible says and read on that. So he said, now you can keep asking and you will receive that your joy, your gladness, delight might be full and complete in the name. You get that in the name. Yeah. Praise God. You know, we ask God in the name of Jesus for something, and we go through the day thanking him. And after this, other scriptures in the New Testament, we say we thank God in the name of Jesus. After we ask him, and we thank Father in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you for that car I've been believing God for. I want to thank you for those new tires I believe in you. I want to thank you. I lift my hand, Father, in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you. I know my body's not there yet. I'm standing on the word. Yep. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I lift my hands in your name, and I thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I'm doing my best to cheer you up, but some of you are not resisting me a little bit. Okay, so that name belongs to the church. Jesus said, wherever you have a little service, Matthew 18, 19 to 20, he said, I'm going to tell you, if two of you agree on anything, yesterday there was a colleague of ours that we've been familiar with many years, put on their Facebook, sent me a messenger, actually said, I just discovered that I have cancer, and I'm going for an operation. So I just put in there, bang, 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 Matthew chapter 18 and 19. Agreed, I believe what you say. What you said, I believe that you'll have success, that you'll be healed. So agree. So that's what we need, is agreement. Amen? So we don't have to know every detail and where exactly it is. You know? So we just praise God. Amen? Jesus will take that. Heal that. Where two or three gather in my name, I am there. So when we use the name of Jesus, it's like he's standing right there, making sure this is going to happen. He said, where two or three gather together in my name, I am right there in the midst of them. Spiritually speaking, like Jesus is in us. And when we use that name, it's like his presence is right there making sure that this is going to happen between you two. One guy and the other guy is saying, we use the name of Jesus, didn't we? Oh, yeah. And Jesus said, yes, right on. It's going to happen. Amen? Amen? Yeah. That's the way it works. So thank God that we can use that name. So that's what we used last. We talked about that last week. We also said that in Acts chapter 3, verse 16, and he said, in faith, and his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom you see in you. So if we're going to have faith in the name, we're going to have instructions and teaching and revelation about the name of Jesus. And we can only get that by studying the Bible, looking at the scriptures and seeing what the name will bring. And so we said that we had the legal right to use that name. Like, you can't just use anybody's name going around town and doing different things. You can't use someone's name and take my credit card and start purchasing things, and you'll get into trouble. So sometimes, because of who you are, your name is good. Somebody else can use your name, like on their resume. Like the other day, somebody called me and said, can I use your name? And, I said, praise God, my name is good. And so they used my name. And so a company called me and said, we're talk to this person. We want to know what you think about that person. And I said, sure. Here's what I think about that person. I would hire him right away. I would do this. I would do that. I don't let him go. And so they called me back. I got the job. They said, because of who you are, your name has helped this guy get his job, or this woman, this man. So your name is good. So in town, I don't know what everybody thinks about me, but I believe it's good. Amen. The Bible says a good name is like having reputation. So anyway, somebody said there's a song that goes, every time Mama mentions your name, she spits on the ground. Hope that's not you. Okay. So we have a legal right to use the name of Jesus. So, you know, if somebody uses a name that's not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you're not born again, that name doesn't belong to you. We saw over in Acts chapter 19, verse 13 to 16, the NIV, the Bible says these guys were trying to cast out spirits in the name of Jesus, and that spirit in the man overcame them. He said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know, but who are you? Praise God. We have the right to use the name of Jesus to cast devils out. Amen. If that ever should happen. Now, you can resist devils in the name of Jesus when they come against you. I don't know if you ever had an attack. Some people they're not aware they're being attacked by the enemy, because all of a sudden fear comes on in the middle of the night, or some kind of worry, and they're attacked by worry. And so they think about 5 hours, 7 hours, wasting time. Don't waste time. Just say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this. I come against this worry. I come against this fear. Fear, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Leave my presence, and it will leave you. Don't waste a week. So as you get older in the Lord, you begin to see this more and more and more. I know things can get heavy. So the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. We have received all things by the coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by the means of his marvelous glory of excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he's given us in great and precious promises, that these promises enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4. Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus said by the Spirit of God that they should have a spiritual wisdom and revelation of they need to know who they are, what they have in Christ Jesus. So we need to know what we have in the name of Jesus. So there is something about the name. It's not about celebrities. It's not about famous people. It's about Jesus, the Son of the living God, who purchased our redemption, and that redemption is contained and written in the New Testament, and all that Jesus did for us and all that belongs to us is written in the book. That's why we have to read the book to find out what belongs to us, so that you can start claiming it and become victorious in every battle of life. Amen. Know who we are in the name. That's why that name is wonderful, because we can start collecting our insurance. We give thanks in the name. So, that's from last week. We're not going to use this. So, we're going to go to our next lesson. I gave you a caption because there's lots of new people here. There's new people watching. And the name of Jesus, the authority of the name. Mark chapter 16 is where we're going to start. And I do have about 17 minutes. I try to be obedient to let you out. Some Wednesdays we went longer, and so I owe you some. So on a Wednesday night when I'm the hungriest for chicken, I will leave you out 15 minutes earlier. But sometimes they start the service, and Pastor Ken, he takes all my time. I'm just kidding. No. So we try to spend more time in the Word, studying the Word. So it's not, Wednesday night is not a worship service. Like Sunday morning is not really, we worship, you know, maybe four or five songs, 15 minutes. And so I was taught by Brother Hagin, what's the main deal for the service Sunday morning? It's teaching of God's Word, getting the Word of God out. It's not a worship service. Some churches in the city, and I've gone there, they worship 45, 50, 60 minutes. And some of the songs are not even worship. They're just songs. Just song, because the song leader likes to sing long. So what we do here, we say, you sing four or five songs, just enough to get the people into the presence of God and get them off some things and help them out. Praise God. Amen. So we're training you. Just get right in right away. And some of you, if you're late, you're just, some people don't, they kind of skip the worship service. Just come sit down. I guess they must be all ready. Amen. So Sunday morning, people, get up praising. Amen? Amen? You say, I'm going to be ready. Hallelujah. I'm going to get ready for the Word of God. And we're going to praise Jesus. Thank Him. So I've learned to teach in different ways. I always thought, you know, this is how you teach. This is what you teach. You know, a lot of times the teaching is by the Spirit of God, more than anything else. And I don't care. We wrote a lot of sermons. We got lots of sermons. But you have to preach what God put in your heart. Amen. So, anyway, Mark 16, are you there? How many people got Mark 16? Okay, if you got Mark 16, if you don't have it, we'll give it to you. Put on the screen. Praise God. If you don't have a Bible, I've been doing premarital counseling. So I was at the church yesterday doing some premarital counseling in the morning. One was out of town on this, another one over here. Marital counseling, and then premarital counseling. So it's after they got married, 5 years later, they come back and say, I don't want to be married anymore. I said, you told me you want to be married. You said you loved her. And now they want to change policy. But anyway, thank God for I said, you have to be sure, right? So some people live a long time together, and they live 5, 6 years, have a few kids, they get married, and then they leave each other. What's the deal with that? I don't know. Anyway, praise God, the name of Jesus. That's my rant, okay? The name of Jesus. So if you're Christians, right? You're Christians, it's a different story. But if one's not Christian, then you got a problem. Okay, so we're talking about compatibility things over there. So sometimes one person leaves a Christian marriage, and that person is free. You can't just leave anytime you want. If you're a Christian. Now, if somebody doesn't want you, what can you do? Wait till Jesus comes back. You know, so you're not going to get that. So you have to understand these things. So people have blanket things. They think about a lot of stuff. And they make a lot of trouble for people. You know, so they think, you have to stay that way. You know, no. Jesus is a good God. He's not going to send you to hell. Now, the name of Jesus, the authority in the name of Jesus. Mark 16, when Jesus left, this is what he said. These signs shall follow them and them that believe in my name. This is if you believe in the name. These signs shall follow if you believe in the name. Okay? He says, in my name, these signs shall believe in my name. See, they put the punctuation there, making you think something else, but it makes you think, it works out anyway in this, because punctuation was not in the original scripture. So sometimes when you're reading scripture, you stop at a certain thing, you think, you know, did not suck in a new thought. So this is the same thought. So these signs shall follow them in my name, they shall cast out devils. So you have authority in the name of Jesus to cast devils out. Which kind? All of them. And they shall speak with new tongues. So in the name of Jesus, we're speaking in tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. This is talking about divine protection in those extreme cases where you need divine protection in the name of Jesus. So we need to claim this. When the storm comes, you're driving down the road, you have whiteouts, claim the name of Jesus. I saw a lot of moose on the highway looking right at me when this man was driving. But he covered himself with the blood. I believed him. So, notice it says, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. That's in the name, and they shall recover. One of the things I wanted to say, they shall recover. It didn't say they'll instantly get well. Recovery is a process. And so a lot of times people are, their healing is stolen because they never, you know, begin to recover because they wanted the instant healing. So we're standing. After these things, here's what it says over here in Luke 10, 1 and 9. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. Remember, he gave 12, then he appointed 70. And those 70 did the same thing as the apostles did, the first guys. They went out and did the same things. And they did all this stuff that I told you, we read a little bit there. And then also those 70 people that went out, a man who heard about the 70 went out in the name of Jesus doing these things, he started to do it. And he was not with the 12. He was not with the 70. But he found the key. Hallelujah. Amen? He found the pattern. If you can find a pattern, you can do the same thing. Just like in business, if somebody has a pattern or has some kind of a structure or some kind of, a systematic way of gaining money or whatever, you find what he did, you apply the same principle, and it can be yours, the same thing. I remember Brother Hagin teaching us. He said, you know, I can teach you the same thing. I can show you by the Word of God, the principles, how to work and get miracles without an anointing. But just by the Word of God and just use the Word of God without a tangible anointing. And you can get the same anointing on you, transferred to you from another ministry on your life by faith. And he taught three things. He said, by association, by whoever you're associated with, that same anointing is on you. Right? We know that just by looking at it, having a role model, reading all their stuff, following that, you get the same thing by association. It's amazing how that can happen. So let's go ahead and read here. And he sent them two by two before his face, every city and place, whether he himself would come, and heal the sick that are therein, and say to him, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And the 70 returned again with great joy, saying, notice this, the 70 returned, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in thy name. He sent them out. They came back. They said, hey, this works. It's like magic. And so they come back. So this is Luke chapter 10, verse 1 and 9. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Notice that there's two words in their power. There's two Greek words that are in their power. He mentions power twice. The first word, he says, I give you authority. I'm going to give you exousia, or authority. The second word, over all the power. See, all the power, over all the power, or all the ability of what the enemy can do against you. I'm going to give you authority in my name to stop the enemy from harassing and hurting you and your family.
Amen.
And sometimes you have to stand stronger with your children. Because they're not always obedient, but God will do something for you because you are following. The Bible says in the scriptures that if you follow God, if you follow me, I'll make sure that your children will come in. Although they're out there doing something, you need to stand for them.
Yeah.
Although your uncle is out there, you got to stand for him. Yeah. And be strong. Glory to God. So, he said, through your name, you shall tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power. How much power?
All.
Over all the power of the enemy. Because the enemy, you know, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says, we have an enemy. And he's called the devil. And he has some power. He has some authority. He has some, or at least he has some ability. Because Colossians 1, and 13 says the enemy, the devil, he's called the power of darkness. And the only way he can have authority over you and have power over you if you go over to his territory.
That's right.
And come out of light and into darkness and begin to live in sin, then he has access to your life.
That's right.
But when we know we're wrong, we got to go right back into the light. The Bible says, 1 John 1:9, as he is in light, and the power, and we know we're walking in darkness, we say, as he is in light, the blood of Jesus, amen, we studied about that, the blood of Jesus will cleanse us. As soon as you say, Lord, I'm sorry, the blood of Jesus will cover you and wash you, and you're back in again.
Hallelujah.
Don't wait till you come to church and cry over here, slinging your snot everywhere. Wait, don't do that right away. Say, God, I'm sorry. And just move on. Don't wail in condemnation. We're going to teach about, you know, freedom from condemnation. We'll preach that in the next hour. How to be free from guilt and condemnation. We're free. So everything you know, even if you fall again, get up again. Don't waste time. Get up again. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing will hurt you. I like that Isaiah 54:17, that no weapon formed against you will prosper.
Yeah.
Nothing. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Psalm 91 says that there that, you know, that God will protect you under his shield, under his feathers. All his angels are covering you. So, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, you know, Jesus was given the name by his father. But how did he obtain that name? Why did he have that name? Well, there's some scripture here that will tell us about these things. First of all, Jesus inherited that name. You inherited your name. I inherited my name, Fisher. My actual name in the Ojibwe language is Jabugishik. That's my name. The government, I'm going to start talking like Larry Salt. The white government. Well, they gave me the name Fisher. That's my a Canadian name. My English name. My Anishinaabe name is Jabugishik. That means through the sky. That's my name. Roma through the sky. Come falling through the sky. But Jesus, I inherit that name. I inherit that name. And God, you inherited your name. So God gave Jesus the name by inheritance. The Bible says over here, notice this, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Being so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. The name is excellent, but he inherited that name through God the Father. So that name, that's why he got that name. He inherited that name. Mary didn't say, Joseph, what shall we call this little boy? Huh? It's like you know. What's our next son going to be? Honey, what's our next son going to be? She doesn't like me talking about that. I'm 50 years old. You know. Praise God. She didn't know how old she was. I asked her how old she was yesterday. She said, I don't know how old I am. I said, okay, let me calculate this. So it took me 3 tries. So I found out her name, how old she is, and I've been living with an old woman for a long time. I'm just kidding. She knows I love her. So. Don't laugh, Pastor Kid. Okay, the next thing that Jesus, he was given that name, it was bestowed on him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, that name was given to Jesus. It was bestowed on him. It was conferred on him. You know, when I receive a doctorate degree, that the term or designation? The designation doctor was conferred on me because they recognized my achievements and what I've done and my work and as a minister and as my work, you know, my Bible work and the writings I did and so forth. Right now, I can make so many books. I have so much material. My wife and I are going to start putting books out. Hopefully, I can put 3 books out by the fall. Honey, we're going to work so hard. We got lots of books to do, but anyway, here's what they did. They gave Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Do we have that? Okay, so it says here, wherefore God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So that name is above poverty. Amen. That name is above the name of cancer. Amen. Amen. That name is highly, God highly exalted the name. That the name of Jesus is above poverty. In the name of Jesus, I break the poverty spirit over every person here. In the name of Jesus, amen. I break the poverty spirit in the name of Jesus over those who are watching by television. In Jesus' name. We will not lack. I'm rich. Everybody say, I'm rich. Shall have plenty. I'm fully supplied. I remember one time Jesus, when he appeared to Brother Hagin, he said, you know, my spirit's been trying to lead you. And this is a vision, right? My spirit has been trying to lead you. And if he said, if you learn to follow my spirit, I'll make you rich. At the end of his life, and he couldn't rub 2 nickels together when the Lord talked to him. He's had 1 pair of pants, and actually he hung it out one day. He's wearing this 1 pair of pants, and somebody stole that pants. He said he wore out all the shoes. He had bald tires. And God told him, I'll make you rich if you learn to follow my Holy Spirit. And he said, and he did it. He made me rich. What does the word rich mean? Does it mean millionaire? It could. But the rich means full supply. It means fully supplied. Praise God. Amen. We're fully supplied. Everything we need, everything we want, we praise God, we can have it. So you say, well, I'm not rich. No, yes, you are, according to the Word of God. You are. You're the one that's lying about it. I know you don't have two nickels together, but God says, I made you rich. He says that he became poor so that we can become rich. That's what the scripture says. Like, you know what? People are confessing what they have, not what confessing what the Bible says. The devil said, no, you're sick. Look at, feel your body. I said, I'm not talking about what I feel. I'm talking about what the Bible said. God says, I'm healed. According to God's word, I'm healed, praise the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen? Yeah. So, you know what belongs to you. So, by conquest, he won battles for us. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, Jesus triumphed. He beat the devil on his own turf for us. And everything that he did by conquest, he gave to us. Yeah. Yeah. You know, when we're fighting, when we say we're fighting battles, the enemy, we're fighting in the position of winning situation. Because Jesus already conquered the enemy for us, and that victory was awarded to us. So when we say in the name of Jesus, we're saying on the authority what Jesus did against the enemy for us, we have the victory. So he says over here, Ephesians 1 and 21, far above all principality. This is the victory that Jesus had over the enemy. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which to come. So God gave him that name. That name is above every name. So we need to know the name of Jesus and exercise our faith in the name and what is given to us. So let me just go for a couple more minutes here. I know you're hungry. So God gave him a name above every name. And so that name belongs to all of us. So we have a lot of things that we want to discuss, but you cannot bear them right now. We come back to the name because this is so long. But I want to just give you one thing out of what we said last week, just to reiterate something. Because sometimes, you know, we think about it, we give something, but we don't meditate on it enough. So, first of all, we said there's something about that name. We have to know what that something is in the scripture. The Bible says that he will save us from our sins. So that name, we have forgiveness in that name. So Ephesians 5:20 and Hebrews 13:15. So when we're thanking God in the name of Jesus, we're thanking him on the basis of what that name has given us according to what the new covenant says. So, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, or Jesus Christ. So, when we lift our hands, we say, God, thank you in the name of Jesus. I want to praise you and thank you for all that Jesus has given us. Do that right now. Lift up your hands. Say, thank you, Lord. Say, what God, you did for us in Jesus. All that name represents is contained in your word that I will find out more and more. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, he says, therefore, let us offer a continual sacrifice of praise. What is a sacrifice of praise? Because sometimes we don't always want to praise God because we're having a bad day. Or you're worried about something. You don't feel like praising God when you're worried. When you're stressed out, you don't feel like praising God. But a sacrifice means you're going to do something when you don't feel like doing it. You might just want to be busy at something else. So a sacrifice of praise means, hey, I'm going to do this whether I like it or not, whether my body wants to do it or not, whether my mind is in this, whether emotionally I feel like I'm going to do this. I'm going to lift up the name because his name is worthy to be praised. So we offer a sacrifice of praise. Lift that hand up and say, thank God, I offer a sacrifice of praise in the name of Jesus. Okay, let me just say, therefore let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. We're giving God continual praise, as priests. We're all of us are kings and priests. How many people know that you're a king and a priest? Amen. All of us. What does a king do? The Bible says that Romans 5:17 says that we as kings reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. What does the word reign signify? The word reign means we rule and dominate. And how does a king dominate? Just like a king, we dominate in our own personal lives. So what's going on in your life, you're responsible as a king. So how does a king rule? He rules by making a decree. He rules by what he says. Jesus is a high priest of your confession. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3 that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's looking for you to say something so that he can make it happen as your high priest.
Amen.
Yeah. That's why he says you can have what you say. He's a high priest of our confession. Thank God. So, here's what you have. You have the power of attorney to exercise your legal rights. You have the power of attorney. I mean, you have that. You've been given that, right? Jesus said, here's my name. And whatever is in there you need, use it and use it against the enemy. So, Jesus said, go in my name. And we read the scripture earlier in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 9 and 10. You mentioned that scripture this morning. We have salvation in the name. And that word salvation means many more things other than, you know, going to heaven when you die. Acts 4:12 says, there's no other name in heaven whereby men ought to be saved is in the name of Jesus. In Acts 16, the Bible says we get saved in the name, right? So there is healing in the name. We're going to talk about healing another time because remember we talked about the Jesus, you know, the two disciples going into the temple and they saw a crippled man. He said, I don't have any money, but I do have something. I have the name. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the guy gets up and walk and starts dancing around. And then the Pharisees got mad. Threw them in prison and beat the disciples up. They're hanging in the prison. They're in the prison there, getting all beat up. And then they said, you don't use that name anymore. Don't bring that magic around here. They said, no. Let me tell you something right now. I'll either obey you or I'm going to obey God. I choose to obey God. I will use the name again. They said, don't do that again or we put you in prison. And they let him out. As soon as they went out, they began to do it again. And they got all filled with the Spirit and got drunk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. By the way, we're on our second service here. I don't know. You guys staying for the second service? Amen. So we got to study about the healing in the name. Like, you don't ever have to, as a Christian, as a born-again, tuned-up, mature Christian, you don't ever have to have anybody lay hands on you for healing. You just say, in the name of Jesus, I receive my healing.
Amen.
Lay hands on yourself. I remember when Brother Higgins had a heart attack because he disobeyed God. The Lord told him, because you disobeyed me, you got sick and you got to the place out of the will of God, out of my perfect will, into the permissive will of God. He was not sinning, but he was out of the will, out of the perfect will of God. He said, where Satan got access to you, and you got a heart attack where the enemy had access to you, your body. You disobeyed me. I told you to preach healing and prayer, and you went and did something else. And so he was traveling. As a traveling minister, just fell over and almost died. And Brother Hagin appeared to him and said, listen, I told you in 1950 that the anointing is in your hand. Lay hands on your chest. And call yourself well. And he laid his hands. He said, as soon as I lay hands on my chest, he said, I could feel that warm coming out of my own hand and into my chest area, and I was revived instantly. What if I didn't know that name? What if I didn't obey God? See, some people in here, you might be sick because you disobeyed God. God told you to follow him 100%. And he's been telling you that for years, and by his mercy, you're still alive. And so sometimes we have to learn, you know, maybe you're broke financially, it's because you haven't obeyed God where you're supposed to. And so that's what happens to us sometimes. We get back because we're fearful what somebody else might say. Who cares about what people think about you? So the disciples said, we don't care what you say. This is Acts 4 and 5. We don't care what you say, and we're going to preach anyway in the name of Jesus. But those guys said, next time that happens, I'm going to throw you in jail. We know that those guys, some of those guys that were martyrs, you know, but we don't want to be a martyr. We just want to go and have some cheese and crackers and candy and whatever. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up and lift the name of Jesus. Lift our hands in the name of Jesus and start praising him and thanking him if you're excited about it. If you're not excited about it, do it anyway. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. We lift our hands in your name. Praise God. We confer blessings to our family. We confer in the name of Jesus blessings to the church here. We call everything blessed. Every worker blessed. Every child blessed. Favor of God is coming your way in the name of Jesus. Healing is coming in the name of Jesus. And infilling of the Spirit is coming in the name of Jesus. Open doors are happening in the name of Jesus. The key is in the name of Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. Lift, touch your body and say, body, be healed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 If you're bothered in your mind, say, mind, think right, think positive, think healthy in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Speak to your family. Say, in the name of Jesus. Say, family, in the name of Jesus, I call favor over you. In the name of Jesus, I call you free. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Isn't that name wonderful? We're going to learn more about that name. Praise God. Before you leave, I would like you to begin to greet one another with a holy kiss. Praise God. I mean, just go ahead and greet somebody. Shake their hand. Tell them we appreciate them. Would you do that, please, before you go? Amen. Glory to God. Have a wonderful day, one afternoon. Praise the Lord. Amen.